as they're taking the offering, I've got something for us to think about and to do. And I wonder, Terry, if we could have that first scripture slide up on the board. Can we do that? There we go. Okay, as we're receiving the offering, would you look at that scripture for just a moment? You have to interact with it, so maybe memorize it while you're looking at it. That'd be good, too. Okay, this is talking about some of the first responses to those who came to Christ and what they did in response to coming to Christ. I know you've seen the scripture before. Oh, by the way, this scripture is used for more guilt sermons probably than anywhere else, because every time I go to measure myself against this, I'm going to come up short. And the reality is, and I'm talking, I don't think I can do that all the time, but I want you to see something here. Would you look at it with me? It says, and they, which is the first believers, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to these things. And the power word that's up there is the word devoted. You know what devoted is, don't you? Think for a moment. No answer. You're going to work on this in just a second. They were devoted. Devoted. I see people devoted to all kinds of things. I can't drive for 10, 15 feet without saying, oh, they're obviously devoted to that, he's devoted to that, she's devoted to that. I can pick out who's devoted and what they're devoted to. I can see it in my neighbors. I can see it in my family's life. The word devoted means, in your mind, not out loud yet, what? Devoted. Take a moment and talk it out with the person next to you. What devoted means. Go. Okay, by now a couple of key words should have passed back and forth. That word devoted strikes me as a word that means this. What'd you hear? What'd you hear that was different? Devoted means what? It means what? All. Okay. Pardon my Jersey accent, whatever that was. All. Okay, all. Okay, all. All? Wow. Everything. Okay. Another word come up to him, thought about? Okay, let's have it. You're getting pointed at. Committed. Big C or little C? Big C? Okay. Big O or little O? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. That was good. That was good. Well done. Committed. So I've got all. I've got committed. Did another key word pop up anywhere? Giving. Yeah. Come on. What?
Love.
Devoted? Love? Okay, do we got to do a Valentine's Day commercial? Gentlemen, don't blow it. You've got less than 2 weeks. Okay, I gave the commercial. Okay, good. I like that. What else was said back here? David?
Consistency.
Oh, that's good. Devoted. I'm going to tell you about somebody you know that's really devoted in just a second. Another word or two come to mind?
Dedicated?
Set aside. Set aside. You came up with that in that 30-second time that we talked to each other? That's imagine what would happen if we give it a minute. That'd be amazing. That was really good, okay? Listen to me. Have you ever known the person who's a friend or a relative who comes up to you? And typically after the first of the year, let's throw that in, because I've watched that exercise group down to 3 people yesterday, by the way. Went from almost, what, 36, 38, down to 3 yesterday, and one of them was the instructor. I think next week the instructor's going to be out there with a mat doing whatever by herself. Okay, so here we go. Have you ever known a friend or a relative or somebody like that who after the first of the year announces to you that it's the brand new year and it's going to be a brand new me? And you know what? I'm changing my eating habits and I am going to devote myself to working out. And the me you see right now is not the me you're going to see in a couple of months. Now listen, many of you in here have the spiritual gift of sarcasm. And right about then you've learned with family and friends what? Shut up. Quiet. Don't say anything because why? You know in your heart you probably heard this from this person before. And they were going to go to that exercise class outside Mike's house and now they're not there anymore. Right? You've seen this before. I had a guy in my life on church staff with us, comes up at one meeting and says this in front of at least 20 people. He says, I want to tell you people something. This is the last time you're going to see me looking like this. This is a thin guy, so I don't know what he was actually going toward. And he said, I am telling you that starting today, I am devoting myself to working out with the goal that I'm going to be a long-distance runner. So, sarcastic Mike, and many of you are on that page, are like this. Didn't want to discourage the guy. I said, hey, you know, that's great. knowing for sure, like all the other people around me who make all these promises, he wasn't going to keep it. Lo and behold, he's the only guy in my life I think I can say this about. He went crazy. It wasn't the fact I'd go by his office and see the blogs and things like that that he was reading, but he went nuts. He got himself a nutrition coach. Do you know those people are out there? Okay. I didn't until it happened with this guy, okay? So they had a nutrition coach. Then on top of that, he got himself a running coach. Did you know that there's running coaches out there? Okay, you folks are way ahead of me here. He got himself a running coach and a nutrition coach. And he started working with these people. And he dramatically changed his diet. And he started working out. And I was part of the group of people who said, okay, that's good for this week. But give it another week or two. He'll come right back to the herd. And lo and behold, a week or two went by, and a month went by, and more than a month went by. And all of a sudden, he was running, and I'd see him in break times or other activities. And now he had the outfits. He looked like a runner, because they've got certain cool stuff, all right? And then he had really great shoes. And then I'd heard that the other day when it was pouring rain, he went out and put 5 miles in. And I was like, hold on now. And lo and behold, he got into this, and it was like 3 or 4 months later, and he ran his first marathon. And he didn't just run it, but he lived. You know, because a lot of people don't. You know, that's a dirty secret of marathons, which is what keeps me away from it, okay? But the truth is he lived at the other end of it. And he told us all about it, and I'm not done. And then it was like 2 or 3 months later, he kept training, he ran another one. And I was like, oh my goodness. It has now been, as I count according to my clock, it has now been 13, 14 years. And do you know what he's doing? The same thing. And I can honestly say that he was devoted and is devoted to what he claimed to the rest of us he was going to do. I would say this to you also as we look at the scripture this morning and go to Acts chapter 17. There's a devotion that we're supposed to have. Don't go to it yet. It's going to come up on the screen. It's ready there. What's the devotion I'm supposed to have? What couple of devotions am I supposed to have? As someone who claims to be a follower of Christ, I claim to love Jesus Christ. I claim to have Him as my Savior. I claim I'm going to live my life for Him. And if all this stuff is true, then I guess I have some devotions in my life that I didn't have before. What would you say is a devotion I need to have if I claim to be a follower of Christ? What would a devotion be for me? What'd you say? Okay. Study the text. Study the Word, which is where we're going to go this morning. Anything else? I am devoted to the Scripture, the Word of God, and what else? I'm devoted to prayer. Okay, come on, anything else? I'm devoted to who? Okay, spend time with Him. Isn't that reading the Scripture? No, it isn't. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks, okay? Spend time with Him, intentional, deliberate time with Him. Give me another devotion. Fellowship with who? Cool. I like that. A devotion to each other. Can you imagine being with a group of people who were devoted to each other? Hold it now. A group of people who were devoted to each other over themselves? How dynamic would that be? That's awesome. Is there another devotion I should have? What? Okay. What do you say? Fasting. That might be a devotion I would have. Okay, you're getting the idea. This morning, changing my life, revolutionizing my life. This morning, I'm going to talk about the one devotion, and it's number 2 in the series of Church Essentials on the Word of God. Hopefully, you're keeping notes. Hopefully, you're getting some of these down. But the reality is, I believe there are several things that we as followers of Christ do not routinely do. We say that we love Jesus Christ, and we're not routinely about some of the priorities that He laid down. And one of them is the Scripture. And many people I talk to, even recently, have told me this. I know what the Scripture says, but I'm not sure I can do it. I don't know. That's a tough one for me to wrestle around. I know what the Scripture says, but I'm not sure I can do it. So this morning, we look at the text from Acts chapter 17, really verses 10, 11, and 12. I'll give you a little background. Paul and Silas had a rough go in Thessalonica. They brought the message of the gospel there, and the Jewish leaders kind of raised up the people in a riot against them, so much so they had to escape. They took the guy who owned the house, who was holding on, or giving them a place to stay. They took Jason, they threw him in jail, made him pay a penalty, and they skedaddled off, and they went down to this region of Berea.
You should note this in your scripture from Acts chapter 17, verses 10, 11, and 12. They went down to Berea, and when they went down there, they naturally went to a place they could speak about Jesus. And in verse 11, like you see on the board here, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed. I'll stop right there. I'm going to make just a few points for us this morning for you to make note and be challenged by. And the first point on your note sheet is this. How am I open to the Word of God? I need to receive the Word of God. Notice what the Scripture says here. These Berean Jews were of noble character. Everybody knows what noble means, right? Noble means this, that I came in here this morning and I had my kingly garb on. And with my kingly garb and my crown, and hold it, my scepter. I've always wanted one of those because you can whack somebody if not paying attention. Okay, so here I am, and you'd look and say, you know, he's a noble man. Or you can go a little bit further, and you can realize that it also means this. It means people of generous spirit who are open-minded to the truth, not prejudiced, hostile, or suspicious of others. These are the kind of people who gave a fair hearing to others. That's also what noble means. And apparently the Bereans listened to the gospel. They were open to the truths from God. Notice what it says here. They received the message with great eagerness. That word eagerness means this. Emotion and passion. I'm going to throw another word in here. Heat. Heat. Remember what you used to feel when you first fell in love? No, okay, thanks, Ed. Appreciate you helping out there, all right? We're talking heat. We're talking passion. Hold it. Do a quiz with me right now. I'm thinking of an event that I've seen before that happens every year about this time, and I seem to see a lot of heat and passion and energy involved with it. I see people wear uniforms of people, of other people, with other people's names on their back. I see them eating a lot of chili and drinking a lot of beer. I see them arguing with heat and passion. I've seen a couple of fist fights with heat and passion. And isn't there an event that kind of unites us like this? As any Valentine's Day. Very good. David, nicely said. You're going to be in America for the next couple of weeks, aren't you? This is going down to your wife, by the way, by way of the internet, that you said that, all right? It's obviously the Super Bowl party. We used to run a Super Bowl party for hundreds of people in a big gymnasium and have many screens up, and people bring all their chili in. By the way, for you hunters, tons and tons of fantastic deer chili brought into these things. And I knew we were in trouble because all the people from the church would be bringing their friends in. Very non-threatening church event. But the truth of the matter is this. I knew we were in trouble when a bunch of people came in, all wearing the same kind of jersey from the same team. We were okay. But then I would notice another group of people come in, and invariably, they'd be wearing the other team's jersey. You know that devoted to the fellowship and all that prayer stuff we read before? Forget it. In the door, they would come, and immediately there'd be some of this. And back and forth about different personalities. I've got a couple of diehard Bostonians here this morning. Are you going to wear a jersey tonight? Serious? No courage to do that? Okay, yeah, that's right, that's right. Well, I know when we were lifting weights the other day, I thought sure that you were going to... I keep throwing it out and nobody's buying that. Fact of the matter is, there's going to be some tensions. The fact of the matter, though, is you back up a little bit, you're going to see people with heat and with passion for their team. There's something really cool about that. There's something kind of electric about it when you're with a room full of people that are pulling for your team. And that's what's going on here. Having a passion, emotion, and a heat from the Word of God. And there's only one reason for that. Because I fully expect that when I'm going to study the Word of God, listen, this is not so genius. It fully means that I'm going to get the Word of God. Hold it! You mean to tell me? Forget about this for a moment. Let's say this didn't exist. You mean to tell me that you've got Word from God? I feel like I'm doing an Indiana Jones movie right now, okay? Are you serious? You've got the Word of God. We don't have a Bible, all right? But you're telling me you've got the Word of God? I want in on that. I want to be part of that. I want you to make a copy for me. And there you go. You getting it? But you see, the bottom line is, I bought this Bible many months ago, because it was the biggest one I could find. I bought this Bible, and I counted up what I had. And this was the 47th Bible that I own in my possession. 47. I've seen a couple others that I want to have, but I've got 47 of them. And it kind of loses, I'll just be real honest, it loses the allure that it's really God's Word. Okay, it's God's Word. So what? What else you got? How's your team playing today? And it doesn't take on that specialness that this is the Word of God and this is the Word of God speaking to me. And if it really was and I really thought of it that way, I'd have a heat and a passion about it. And I'd have the heat and the passion because I know every time I come to it, I'm going to receive the teaching from God. You can't keep me from that. God's going to be talking to me. I'm there. But how many of us feel that way? I'm talking to me more than you right now about spending time in the Word. That's just the first point I want you to have. It's the way to know God's truth, the way to know His heart, the way to know His mind is to study the Word of God. Said He can talk to me. Second point is this, is in verse 11. You notice what these Bereans did. They received this Word, and then notice what else they did in verse 11. They were examining the Scriptures daily. The second thing I need to do is I need to investigate the Word of God. I invite you to investigate the Word of God. The Bereans accepted it, received it, but they also investigated it. That word examined means this. It means to sift with diligence. It means to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. It means to really find out if it's true. And what they did is they heard what was taught. Well, you know, I do too. Heard what was taught, and then they responded to it and sifted to find that it was true. In Psalm 1, if you're taking notes, in Psalm 1 we read about the man whose delight... Do you know what the word delight means? His delight was in the law of the Lord. You know what delight is? Delight is this. When you get home today and you go in your freezer and your favorite ice cream is there and you've had your dinner and as you're eating your dinner, you're thinking, you know what? I hid some ice cream in my freezer away from my family because they'll eat it. And parents, you know what I'm talking about. I have put stuff in my fridge and this and that only to go and find that it was gone when I wanted it. My delight was taken. Are you getting this, son? Okay, good. I just threw that out. Maybe he'll pay me back for this. But if you have a delight, you're thinking while you're eating, I can't wait to get to that freezer and get out my favorite ice cream, and I'm just going to enjoy it. That's delight. Something that you crave and want to do. And look at this. Psalm 1 says this, that this man's delight was in the law of the Lord. Wow, which is another way of saying he received it. But then you'll notice that this man responds in Psalm 1 by meditating on it day and night. He was going to keep working it over and working it over in his head. And you know what? I get to hear truth taught like that. I listen to people on the computer. I read pastors' blogs. I get CDs from people and listen and watch people talk about the Word of God. And I sit there and I go like this. Wow, that's good. I got to steal that. No, I don't say that. But wow, that's so meaningful. It means so much to me. And you know what? It comes from that pastor, that teacher, that professor, and he's got this insight. Well, you know what? I can too. I can get insight from the Holy Spirit as I read the Word of God because God has His Word for me. Not just the Word that gets spoken, but private Word for me that builds me into the person of Jesus Christ. This is what it means to study the Word with enthusiasm, with heat, with passion, to be investigating it, with zeal, with delight, to really hunger for it. And you know what? It's not just the paid, holy, bald guy that can do that. It's also you that can do that. And let me say this. You can do this with as much or more proficiency than I do it. How's that? As the Holy Spirit teaches you. You know what I get a kick out of? I go to the door, any church I've ever been in, I go to the door, and if I visit and speak at a conference or a church, they want me to go to the door. I don't know what it is, get you out or what, but they want me to go to the door when I'm done speaking so I can greet people as they go out. And people invariably want to shake hands with you, but they don't know what to say. So they say the thing that they've probably heard for generations in church, and it goes something like that. Pastor, that was a fantastic sermon. So watch this. Whoop. No, it don't work that way. Because there'd be less hair to cover the skin, so you don't want to do that, okay? But they'll say something like this. Pastor, that was a fantastic sermon, and you know what? That sermon's going to carry me for the rest of the week. And I want to look at them and go, no! That's not it! It's not meant to carry you for the rest of the week. You are meant to be in the Word to carry you for the rest of the week as you investigate and sift through the Word of God. It's not the way it works. I don't give you a meal today and you're going to use it for the entire week. You need to eat for the rest of the week on your own and go to your refrigerator and get out your favorite ice cream. That's what you do. It's your delight. Third point. Here it is. Verse 11. Look what happens here. These people study this word with eagerness. They examine it daily to see if these things were so. Look in verse 12, if you look that far. Many of them, therefore, believed. I need to respond to the word of God. The Bereans accepted the truth. They researched the truth. And then they responded to the truth. Hey, you want to do something strange this morning? I bet you this has never happened to you anywhere in a church. But this is really pretty neat, by the way. You know what you don't know about this morning? Here it is, okay? I'm going to let it out. It's been hard for me to hold in all morning. I've got Jesus Christ here, okay? He's in one of the back rooms. And he's sitting there and he's waiting. And I set all of you up for 10-minute appointments. And I've got a rolling sheet here. I'm going to have some of the leaders to help me out. But we're going to go back in 10-minute segments. And you can have some alone time with Jesus back in that room. Okay? You excited yet? This is cool, all right? And so we're going to take the first volunteers who want to do that. Serious? I feel like I'd be at the end of the line for that. I got to get some things right before I do that, all right? Because he sees through me. But anyway, here we go. So Jesus is in this room. And you're going to get some time with him, some specific time with him. Can you think of something more exciting? You don't want to sign up first because you know what? You want to gather all the paper that you can. And you want to get a working pen. And you need to start thinking to yourself, now what am I going to say to him? And he's going to be doing all the talking for the most part, but I want to get it all down. I don't want to miss a drop. And not only that, when I'm doing that, I want to make... Whoa, hold it. He can see in my heart. He can see my motives. He knows that thing I got planned tomorrow. Better clean that up before I go in there too, so he doesn't go pointing a finger at me. That'd be embarrassing. But I'm going to do it. How special would it be, and how responsive would you be if that event were really true and you could go spend the 10 minutes with Jesus? And if he said something to you during that time, would you walk out of there with your piece of paper like this and go, yep, he told me what to do and I'm going to go do it? Is that what you'd do? Or would you walk out like this? Well, he told me what to do, but not today. Rather crude, isn't it? But fact of the matter is, when Jesus Christ speaks of truth, and truth for me, I have no other response than to respond with obedience. To have people say that I know what the Scripture says, but I don't think I want to do it, isn't a curse to God that I wouldn't follow what He said. My response has to be one of me following Him and obeying Him. Jesus said this. You taking notes? John chapter 7, verses 16 to 17. Jesus said that his teaching comes from God the Father. Oh my, are you serious? It's on that level? And he says this, if any man is willing to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And it truly comes from God. Let me scare you a little bit. Can I do that this morning? Let's open this up instead of being sacrilegious to the word that was given to us. Let me do this with you for just a moment. Do you realize that there's a whole group of people who have come under the teaching of the Word of God? Watch this. They've investigated it. They have really studied it. And now they're seeking to be obedient to it. And do you know what they've done? They've sacrificed all their money. They've sacrificed, in some cases, all of their possessions. In some cases, they've left promising jobs. In some cases, they've left family, they've left friends, all to go serve in places that you wouldn't send your enemies to because they're that horrible, because they were obedient to what that word said and what God said for them to do. And some of them have even died willingly, knowing as they went in they were going to die, but they were going to be obedient to God and the Scripture as it was laid out for them. Let me scare you a little bit. Most churches are on this level, and here it is, real low. You know what they care about? You come to church, you sit here, and we'll take it from there. We'll get all the folks up here to play their instruments, and you'll sit there and go, wow, that sounds really good. I love coming here. And you don't talk this way, but the entertainment's just great. And you know what? The pastor's not bad either, and I'll come to hear that. And most churches are on this low level of commitment. You come, you sit, you give your money for sure, get out. Something else comes along, you come back, you sit, you let us deliver it, and then you leave your money, give your money, and then leave and get out. Very few churches have the courage to say this. It's never been about here. We come here for encouragement. We come here for group worship. If we had not one instrumentalist and just had some guy playing the bongos and whatever, we would sing and worship and praise our God. And we come here to be encouraged, to be built up, that there's other people like us serving like us. And then you know what? We leave here to go out there and face whatever it is to represent Him, willing to pay any price obediently to the Scripture for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's where the bar needs to be raised in churches. It's a scary place to be. You're going to hear more of it as the spring goes on, but that's exactly what we're called to be and called to do, and your experience with the Word of God should bring about that type of change and that type of service. Want to have fun for the last minute here? Here it is. I've got another outline here I'm going to share with you that I'm not going to preach on, but I thought it would be fun just to give you the outline. Genuinely, here it is, all right? Write this down. Let's look at another outline. Here it is. Point number one, I need to get the Word of God into my head. I need to have a committed approach and system to studying the Word of God. I need to get it in my head. That's number one. Number two, I need to get it into my heart. I need to get the Word into my heart. Moving Bible information from my head to my heart so that I feel it. So that there's an immediate benefit. Psalm 119:11 talks about one of those immediate benefits. And you know what it is? I get the Word into my heart because it keeps me from sin. How about that? Third thing of this quickie outline I'm giving you is this. I need to live out the Word of God with actions. My hands, my feet, my mouth, everything about me needs to be an action part living out the Scripture where God has placed me. Let's bow in prayer. Got your head bowed? I want you to hear something. A lot of you know the writer Max Lucado. I love a phrase that he says. Listen to this carefully. He said that God loves you just the way you are. And I go, aw, that's nice. Listen to the rest. God loves you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And He uses His Word to do exactly that. With your head bowed this morning, I don't know what your relationship, as you walked in the door this morning, I don't know what your relationship with the Word of God is, but listen very carefully. It needs to be one of incredible devotion, of unmatched devotion. Unmatched devotion in your personal life up to this point in time. You need to be devoted to that Scripture so that you might be obedient and responsive to God's Word. And the challenge is very clear, not the guilt, but the challenge. And the challenge is this. What are you going to do different that's going to exhibit your devotion to that Word of God? What are you going to do different privately to exhibit that devotion? And what are you going to do different publicly that shows that devotion? Our Father, I pray for us at Candlewood here. Going through the motions has never been good enough and never will be good enough. But Father, we're committed to You. And I pray in each of our cases that You would continue to deepen our relationship with You as we deepen our commitment to Your Word. For it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.